It's 7 minutes to seven now. Military leaders have accepted that they underestimated the capabilities of the IS forces as well as their firepower and their numbers. There's also been some surprise at the terrorists' ability to keep control of large towns and cities. Is the group that claims it's established a caliphate across parts of Syria and Iraq truly capable of running such complex urban centres? Or are the people who live there somehow managing to get by in spite of them? Our correspondent Mike Thompson's been hearing the accounts of people in Iraq's second city, Mosul, which fell to the ISIS forces in June.
Islamic State's swift capture of Mosul last June took just about everyone by surprise.
Did the world take its eyes off Iraq? A day ago, the city of Mosul fell to Islamic militants.
The world has now woken up to the threat posed by the city's conquerors, along with the people of Mosul.
They have in their minds only one thought, and that is that they came here to die. All they think of is when this happens. They wear suicide explosive belts and just wait for the time when they'll kill themselves. Running public services is certainly not one of their priorities.
Sadek, which is not his real name, says some parts of Mosul have no water and homes rarely get more than 2 hours of electricity a week.
Electricity is vital to our lives here, but we rarely have any now. I spoke to Islamic State about this, but they told me that we have to accept the situation because during the Prophet's time, there was no electricity. We must get used to living the way people did 1400 years ago.
In those days, you might have struggled to find convoys of 4x4s bristling with high-tech weaponry, but that didn't seem to mar the mood during IS's jubilant parade through Mosul early last month. Though it might have been a different story had anyone needed hospital treatment.
I have a lot of friends who are doctors, who work in the main hospitals in Mosul, but most of them have fled the city because of the treatment they were getting from IS. There are only few doctors left here now. Things are even worse at the children's hospital, where there are no doctors at all, just nurses.
Ahmed, again not his real name, is a blogger for the website Mosul Eye. He says that in order to be paid for their enforced 20-hour shifts, the city's remaining doctors have to embark on a life-threatening journey to Kurdish-controlled Kirkuk. As for the maintenance of law and order...
IS has closed all the courts we had before and replaced them with ones run under Sharia law. I know a local farmer who used to spend his days herding sheep and cattle, but now he's a judge who decides who will live or die.
It's been more than 100 days since me and my brothers last left our home. This had made us all very sad.
Marwa, whose mother is a local teacher, says many schools are now closed. And in the ones that are open, Islamic State militants have banned the teaching of anything they consider un-Islamic.
They have stopped simple science lessons on how we breathe and the parts that make up the body. They say this is haram. In maths, they've stopped the teaching of basic calculations. They insist it's not important for a child to understand such things. IS have even banned our primary school children from singing and learning simple rhymes. They say they should only do studies that help build an Islamic State.
Kurdish Peshmerga forces battle IS fighters to the south of Mosul. But neither they, and certainly not the Iraqi army, show any signs yet of turning the tables. Sadek says the people of Mosul are now pinning their hopes on the outside world.
Our army is already tired. We need more help from other countries to push Islamic State out. We can't have any hope for the future while they remain among us.